hanging in.
Good evening and welcome to the Searchlight Town Advisory Board, Searchlight Community Center, 200 Michael Wendell Way, Searchlight, Nevada, 89046, on this August 13th, 2025 at 6 p.m. Just a reminder, there is a video recording that will be on YouTube tomorrow or the next day. If you are interested in seeing that later, look at Searchlight tab to search for Searchlight Town Advisory Board or tab on YouTube. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission, or the BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advanced notice, assign language interpreter or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530. Supporting material provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material will be available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 South Grand Central Parkway, 6th floor, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89155. Supporting material will be available on the county's website at clarkcountynv.gov/searchlight tab. Board members, James Allen, Chair, Natalie Jeter, Vice Chair, Kayla McGinnis, Donna Moore, Kyle Myers, and Secretary Tammy Harris. Our county liaison is Mark Moskowitz. The meeting is called to order. Let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. James Allen, present. Natalie Jeter,
present.
Kayla McGinnis,
present.
Donna Moore, not present. Kyle Myers,
present.
Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name, address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any public comments? First item is approval of minutes for July 9, 2025. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes for July 9, 2025.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Ally Jeter seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. Next item, approval of the agenda for August 13th, 2025, and also to hold, combine, or delete any items. Do I have a motion on this item?
Make the motion to approve of the agenda for August 13th, 2025.
Kyle Myers makes the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Kayla McGinnis seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. The motion carries. Informational items. Receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison, Mark Moskowitz, on the back-to-school health and wellness fair from August 2nd, and any other updates from Clark County.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to let everyone know we had a wonderful back-to-school health and wellness fair on August 2nd. Also remind the community, school started on Monday, so just be aware of school zones and please monitor your speed. I know our law enforcement are out there making sure people do, so just remind everyone to do that. I want to thank all of the great partners that came. There's so many resources. We have Clark County Dental, Fire, Clark County Preparedness were there, UNR Extension, UMC, Silver Rider, Searchlight Library, Harry Reid Elementary, Help Us Southern Nevada, and RTC. So it's a really great event. I know for the dental, they just did the screenings, and then they will follow up with doing a full deployment. It'll most likely be later in September, but I'll be sure to share that with the community and we'll get it on social media and all that. So if you want to be seen, just let us know. We can definitely get you in because when they come out here, they want to do a full day event. It's a really awesome van that comes. It's like a full dental office on wheels and it's wonderful and it's all free. So make sure you go to it and please take advantage of it. I also want to let everyone know, we do have some backpacks that are left over, so if any students didn't get any backpacks or maybe one broke on the first or second day of school, please just contact our office, we can get them. You can talk to Michelle Brown here. I have some in my office, so I'm more than happy to hand those out if anyone doesn't have one, just wanna make sure everyone has one. One other quick update I wanna give is, so Clark County has been designated as a Purple Heart County. And that means it's for our service members that are no longer with us, but also some that have been awarded Purple Heart. It's usually done at entry points into communities, towns, and areas. Clark County and Nevada, well, Nevada has 13 entry points into it with Welcome to Nevada signs. I'll show a quick map. We have added 13 signs that are gonna say Purple Heart County, and I will show. So this one is for Searchlight, most likely when you're coming in from California on 164. They'll now be with the Welcome to Nevada sign, and it'll say Purple Heart County. So it's very nice that we were able to establish that. There's a whole Purple Heart network and Purple Heart trail to remember our service members and also the ones that have been awarded it. And then I believe this slide, if you want more information about it, just let me know and I can share with you, but you'll just notice that on all of our signs. And then all the ones in Laughlin have been added as well, so you'll just see that. So we're very happy to be known as a Purple Heart County. So those are all my updates.
Thank you, Mark. Next informational item, received a report from Metro Police regarding activity and stats during the past month and other area crime concerns.
Good evening. For those that don't know me, I'm Officer Schlin with Metro. I've been the Searchlight Laughlin area for almost 7 years now. It's been a while since I've attended any meetings. Just a quick report, we don't have too much to go over. Calls for service for the Searchlight area appear that they've been trending down. In June, we were at 40 total calls for service. In July, we were at 30. Sorry, we were at 26. In comparison, last year for July, we were at 30. Traffic citations, 17 were issued. No traffic stops resulted in any DUIs and no arrests in the last month. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Any questions from the public?
spell your last name?
Oh, sorry. S-C-H-E-L-I-N.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next informational item, receive a report from Sergeant Tim Waller with Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and stats during the last month and other public safety concerns.
Good afternoon, Tim Waller, WADR, Nevada Highway Patrol. The last search light last month, July 25, our stats are we conducted 451 traffic stops and issued 451 citations. Two commercial vehicle inspections here at Search Lake. We had three minor crashes and three arrests. Total of 619 total contacts. We need just a little extra information. We've got some extra heads to make on coming holiday weekend. I know that's real important, more so in here than maybe down the line, because we just kind of had 163. So for that whole weekend, and to you guys, we're going to have to.
Great. Any questions from the public?
Well, today there was a pretty catastrophic accident on the eastbound 163. Is that still in progress as far as the cleanup goes with that right now?
Yeah, so the amount of fluids and stuff that were dumped in the truck, it had a hydraulic crane on it. It's, once it gets to be excessive enough, they bring out a special hazmat team to clean up. So DOT is out there with those crews, and there's some significant damage to the road with that crane damaged. So they're trying to patch that up. Hopefully another hour or two, but guys, okay. Any other questions?
Questions from the board? No. Okay, thank you. Next informational item, receive a report from Andrew Bennett, Clark County Director of Traffic Safety, regarding the development of the Safe Streets for All Southern Nevada Action Plan.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the board. Good evening. For the record, my name is Andrew Bennett, A-N-D-R-E-W-B-E-N-N-E-T-T. And as you said, I have the privilege of serving as your director of the Clark County Office of Traffic Safety. It's great to be back in Searchlight. I came before this board about a year and a half ago, been down about a dozen times since, working on a variety of projects. One of the most visible ones that there's a lot in the works right now, but I was really proud after being at this meeting last year to get the bus stop paved. That's a small project, but that was something that took a little too long, and so I'm glad that we were able to take care of that. I'm with you guys today. If any of you went to the back-to-school event, you would have seen our table with the RTC talking about the Safe Streets for All plan. Clark County has partnered with the RTC on this project to have one of the most comprehensive reviews of traffic safety that we've probably ever undertaken. And so I'm going to pass it over to my colleague with the RTC, and I'll wrap us up and answer any questions at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Good evening, board members. Again, my name is Daniel Fazekas, F-A-Z-E-K-A-S. I'm the manager of the Transportation Planning Department at the RTC of Southern Nevada. This evening, I'd like to introduce, and Andrew mentioned briefly about it, is an initiative that's very important to RTC, and we're partnering with Clark County. It's called the Safe Streets for All Southern Nevada Action Plan. It's branded Let's Go Safely. This is a regional safety initiative aimed at reducing traffic deaths and serious injuries across Southern Nevada. So this slide here is showing all the partners of this plan. We kicked it off earlier this June. It's a partnership with NDOT, all local jurisdictions in Clark County, law enforcement agencies, as well as first responders in Southern Nevada. I do want to take a moment right now to provide my thanks to Andrew Bennett. He has been really a great champion and partner in this project. RTC would not be where we are on this plan. Make sure we talk to everyone in Clark County. We're going to be here. We want to make sure we're talking to every part of Clark County. And this is an important part of our first step of this project. Some background. In 2023, the RTC received $1.7 million of federal funding through a Federal Highways Safe Streets for All grant. This program provides local governments funding for planning and building safety projects aimed at reducing traffic-related deaths and local and serious injuries. And what this is representing here is that RDC's plan is to make sure we're talking to everybody in Clark County. That is RDC's commitment. This plan will make sure that we're talking to everybody in urban areas as well as rural areas. Clark County townships and town boards are a critical part of this conversation. So Andrew will now go into some of the data and the ask that we're asking everybody here tonight.
So unfortunately, we continue to head in the wrong direction when it comes to our fatalities. One of my roles as the director of Clark County Office of Traffic Safety is I attend every fatality that occurs in our jurisdiction on our roadways. I was out at one. We got done with the Lone Mountain town board last night at 8:30, and I got called out at 1 o'clock in the morning to Tropicana and Pecos. And so we know that we're heading in the wrong direction. So there's a sense of urgency in our voice when we address traffic safety. And you all might roll your eyes that we're doing just another plan, but this isn't just another plan. The data that we're going to gather from this project will ensure that we head in the right direction. And so, you know, a few key points from the slide. We have gone up the last several years in a row. We had a slight dip or slowdown during the pandemic, but we've gone consistently up. On this slide, it's unfortunately a little out of date. We're at 132 fatalities in Clark County year to date. The other thing I've noticed, for the first time since we've been keeping track of stats, the majority of the fatalities are happening with folks that are out of vehicles. So pedestrians, motorcyclists, and cyclists contribute to the largest portion of fatalities on our roadways. And so a few things that, you know, we're hoping to achieve is, number one, we want to have the document at the end of the day that we can point to. But the other one that's important is you might have heard us approach traffic safety with what we call the 3 E's, or the 4 E's, or the 5 E's of traffic safety. Historically, that's been education, enforcement, engineering, and EMS. With this adoption with the RTC and the county, we're approaching it with what we call safe systems. A few of them are listed here, but I'll read them for everybody. Death and serious injuries are unacceptable. Humans will make mistakes. Humans are vulnerable. Responsibility is shared, safety is proactive, and redundancy is crucial. And I want to start with those last two. Unfortunately, we know where these fatalities happen, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But the other thing that's important as well is when we talk about redundancy, what does that look like? If we can eliminate the conflict, that's a safer road. You know, so it's not just making sure we have a crosswalk painted anywhere. If we're going to do a crosswalk, we need to make sure it's the most robust crosswalk that makes sense in that area. One of the things that I worked on in with Laughlin, with Silver Rider, on Bruce Woodbury and Cougar, we had a crosswalk across the street that folks had to walk across the street to get to the bus stop, and we've had a fatality there. We've had multiple fatalities there, and it took, again, way too long to get that fixed, but we just repaved a little bit of Cougar so that the buses can make the U-turn now. And so folks aren't having to cross the street. That's what a redundant system looks like. If we can eliminate that conflict as much as possible, we'll get there at the end of the day. So what we did, and I'm going to address the number one question that I know I'm going to get, is Searchlight's not on this map. That's a good thing. This is the map that you don't want to be on. So what we did is we took a lot of our data, and we all related with volume and speed and crash factors, and we wanted to be able to have a targeted area. And it might not look like I narrowed down the roads that much, but the highlighted roads represent 32% of our overall roads in the county, not including the interstates. And those 32% of the roads that were highlighted represent 77% of the fatalities. So 77% of the fatalities happen on those 32% of roads. And so we're ensuring that we're focusing on those roads, but we're not also forgetting about the roads that aren't listed. And that's what takes us to kind of our last two slides. So our hope is to have this project wrapped up by May 2026. Currently, we're in phase one. Phase one will be expanded into September, and we'll talk about the survey here next. But again, we just launched the project a little bit ago. We have some walk audits that we're going to do, and we'll make sure that those are on the rules. We want to do demonstration projects. Demonstration projects is a short-term infrastructure project to see if it works in that community. And my commitment is to ensure that when we do these projects, one of them will be down in the South County. Mark and the commissioner and everybody in the office down here does a great job representing you guys, and that was important to the commissioner and to the office. And so we will have one of these demonstration projects down here in the South County. And so, well, we need your help, and we joked with Kyle before the meeting. I had a guess that Kyle found our survey, looking at some of the results, because we had about 80 pin drops in Searchlight, you know, and it was well represented. But if you can scan this QR code or go to letsgosafely.com, it'll bring up a geolocation tool. And this is not a replacement for Fix-It Clark County. That's very important to know. We still want you to use Fix-It Clark County for anything that's an emergency. But we do want to aggregate this data so that we know, in general, where people feel uncomfortable when they're walking, driving, riding their bike, or on their motorcycle. And so we encourage you, again, go to the website. How long does the survey take if you're not doing 80 clicks?
It's a couple minutes.
You know, there's only a few questions, and then there's some demographics data, and then you'll get to this pin. As demonstrated, you can drop as many pins as you want, but we do want your engagement in this project. It is a privilege to be your traffic safety director. We're the only county in the state that has a traffic safety office, and we're one of the few that has one in the country, because we do want to be proactive. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions and appreciate the time.
Questions from the board?
First, I'd like to thank you. I haven't seen you since the bus stop was paved, so we appreciate that, and the teenagers really appreciate it as well. Thank you very much.
Any questions from the community?
I have a question. My name is Susan Berg, B-E-R-G. I'm a Sunday school teacher at our church, and I love this sidewalk. I'm just concerned, where should they cross the highway to get to that sidewalk with a light for the children? I had four boys, 16 and under, that told me last week they were going to go to church last week, and that worried me. I don't have their parents' phone number, and I thought, as far as I know, they'd have to go up by the post office and cross up there, but they live down this way, so I doubted if the boys would be. But anyways, we will try to work with whatever. But I was wondering, how long is it kind of projected before? And also the sidewalk, I noticed the other side of the sidewalk, that a lot of it kind of drops off deep. And I figure if they're riding bicycles or little children walking. And after the pandemic, there was children that started riding their bikes to church. They were so excited that it was open, that they have gradually stopped. I mean, it's just not safe yet. But I was wondering, when is it kind of projected for a light or something?
Thank you. I appreciate the question. And we had this conversation a little bit last night in Lone Mountain. You know, previously the answer might have been, that's an NDOT road, go talk to NDOT. You know, one of the key components of this project is we want to regionalize traffic safety. We want to have a one-stop shop. You know, we understand that your community is divided by an NDOT, you know, freeway, essentially. And so, you know, we want to work with you. I don't have a timeline. You know, I'll continue to work with Mark and Tammy, you know, to make sure that I know exactly where you're talking about, and we'll continue to work with them. You know, my hat's off to NHP. I think we saw more troopers. I didn't know that many troopers existed until we've been driving back and forth the last 2 days. And I saw that they have Trooper Perkins down here as well, which I'm a big fan of his. You know, and so it's going to be a combination of an enforcement and an engineering to increase that comfort. And I think NHP does a great job down here along with Metro as well. But we'll make sure that we know exactly where we're talking about, and I'll make sure that Mark has an answer for you, so you don't have to wait a year before I'm down here again, okay?
Any other questions from the public?
I apologize, Chair. We can come back to the board
real
quick. Mr. Bennett, for the phase two on the walk audits and focus groups, will there be community members involved with walk audits, or is that just something you guys will be doing?
No, we want to, you know, and I think that's the other thing that I haven't shied away from. You know, if we want to walk with you, you know, it's I'm not an engineer, I'm not a cop, I'm a policy guy. But the importance of this project is to have an incredible amount of community engagement. And so it doesn't stop with just the survey. You know, it goes all the way through the end of the project and then into the development of these infrastructure engineering projects. And so I think we can say that we're going to do a few, you know.
So based off of state legislation, RTC and some of the health district actually developed a walk-on plan mandated by AB 343. That plan required all jurisdictions to think about walk-ons going forward. RTC's commitment is that every project will have a walk-on. In this project, every jurisdiction will have at least one, Clark County will have two, in the rural as well. And in that is providing best practices. We know that when a walk-on, typically it's the engineers, planning staff, project managers, walking in, looking at the issues. But the difference is we also want community members, people who live and actually walk in that, all together, walking, filling out some type of form or an app, taking pictures, and we can list it so we can say, these are the problems that are long-term and short-term to fix. That's the commitment on this project. For all RTC projects, and including this one.
Perfect answer. Thank you very much.
Well, I think with that the fact that the county will have two, we'll commit to doing one down here, and making sure you're part of it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions from the public or the board? Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you, guys.
Next informational item, receive a report from Melissa Vandruff with Justice Court regarding stats and other activities during the past month. Informational item, receive a report from Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Good evening. Aaron Gamble, G-A-M-B-L-E, water production for July 2025 was 5.4 million gallons compared to last year, which was 5.3. So it's only an increase of about 1,000 gallons. Kind of seeing, it seems like Endel's kind of finishing up their project, so that's about the water system. We didn't have any major breaks or leaks to report. Our rural system operators and our customer care still are reaching out to people regarding some on-site leaks. And so we'll see what trends are.
Any questions from the board? Any questions from the public? Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Next informational item, receive a report from Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater system and water usage. Natalie Jeter will read that for us. Thank you.
So for July 2025, they were treated an average of 42,000 gallons per day compared to July of 2024 at 46,000 gallons per day, with a flow decrease of 4,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. There were no sewer service complaints for the month of July, and there were three call before you dig searchlight tickets that were received. And there's a flow chart that's been provided on the comparison, and then you can also see the annual rates on the document that's been provided as well too.
Okay, any questions from the board, or the public? Next informational item, receive a report from Sue Bishop, Senior Operations Supervisor with Southern Nevada Transit Coalition.
Hi, I'm Sue Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P, of the Southern Nevada Transit Coalition. Before I start this, I just got an email from my chamber. Don't tell anybody I'm telling you guys. This is congratulations, Silver Rider Southern Nevada Transit Coalition was just nominated for the Community and Social Organization Award, 28th Annual Achievement Award in Laughlin. So you guys know before my boss knows, so don't tell him. So things have been going well. The workforce issue is always an issue. People don't have CDLs like we would like them to have, and the ones that do have it want to go make more money than we can pay. We're a nonprofit, we don't have high pay. We do take care of our people, but it's just sometimes not enough. Vegas Express, we've been utilizing your shelter quite often. Matter of fact, I just had a client who called me to say, hey, I live kitty corner, and I see people getting on at your bus at that stop. Why do I go to Terrible's? I said, because you said you wanted coffee. We don't serve coffee at the bus stop. But I told him I would bring him a cup of coffee and he'd start using it. He's been using it 3 days a week. So it's getting used. It's picking up. It works. He's got a walker. Sometimes he's got a cane. So it's nice to see that he can get there safely. So the ridership is going up. For the Laughlin, Las Vegas ridership, it was decreased from the last year, 2.35, but I think it's just because people can't afford it. I'm not sure. Searchlight Express has gone up 52%. Mm-hmm. So it's getting used. They're getting. We do kind of cater sometimes. We drop them off at Walmart, you know. We take them to their doctors and let them go shopping at the same time, but hey, we like who we like. So projects, our maintenance team has been working on the R-Box. We got our new R-Box buses. I don't know if you guys have seen them yet. We have used one on Vegas Express. The R-Box bus is something that has no stairs. It kneels almost to the ground and it has a ramp that leads to less accidents, less incidents, trips, falls, you know, all that. So they're not painted yet, so if you see it, it's gonna be pure white. We have two in Mesquite, two in Laughlin, one only being used in Laughlin, the other one is in a paint box waiting to be painted, but it's too hot to paint right now, so as soon as it cools down, we'll start painting it. All right, in April, Mike Jackson attended and is now a member of the Bullhead City TAC Committee. Also attended with RTC TAC Committee meeting. What we're trying to do is get our two communities down there. Like we have Searchlight working with us so well, we're trying to get the Bullhead area to work with us so we can have our buses meet up more closely, have their bus come to our side and our bus go to their side. We're talking fixed route, not just our little paratransit. It's to allow those people that are riding and getting working at casinos or coming to visit in Laughlin not to have to get off, take the free boat, get back on and wait and wait and wait. So we've been to a couple meetings. I got to go to my first one. It's not as exciting as here, but it was okay. I attended the Cops and Bobbers back in March with Judge Gino Briscoe. That was a lot of fun. We got our buses involved. Get out there with the kids. Mark is always involved, so it's fun. Go out there, tease them, make fun of them. All right, so we have some other things coming up. We have our Megan Jackson Silver Rider Elves Toy Drive. Last year was very successful, and thanks to Kyle and working with the chamber, we're able to have more party dates so we can transfer people from Laughlin to here and from here to Laughlin multiple times. The chamber has like six different parties getting ready to happen. We got some other tours coming up here to Searchlight. Oh, I probably shouldn't tell people. Anyways, we're transporting some people up here to come look at, some of your sites here in Searchlight and
Nelson. Nelson, yes.
Nelson. So we're trying to get the people up here so they can see, because you know I seen a TikTok that said Searchlight was haunted. So we're gonna get those crowds up here too. So we got a lot going on. We got some more parties going on. We're gonna do our Santa program. We're gonna work with shop with the cop. We're gonna get Searchlight involved. Working with Michelle to get the teenagers shopping. So I know you guys know I'm leaving, and we don't know when. They're trying to bribe me to stay till January, but you got to understand my family's almost all down there except for the two right here.
We're closing the roads.
So he's offered some other things so I would stay, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I really want to go, but I will come back to help, and I can help from there. So our Santa program will thrive. My other projects in Laughlin and Searchlight will thrive. And if you guys ever need anything, the number is going to be the same. Call me, and I'll make sure they do it. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? Any questions from the public? Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Sue.
Next informational item, received a report from Kelly Lear, Southern Clark County Coordinator with UNR Extension regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
Kelly Lear, L-E-H-R, UNR Extension. Devin in the back is my community-based instructor, and she will actually be inside Reed Elementary School this fall, thank goodness, hosting STEAM Through the Seasons on Fridays for kindergarten through second and third through fifth. It's just a supplemental science class, and the principal's been gracious enough to allow us to get inside, and so she's excited about that. She's also gonna have 4-H Fridays here in the garden for the little kids and elementary school age kids. She'll have lessons, activity, snacks revolving around, and I had to write this in because I couldn't remember, a wildlife gardener curriculum. She's gonna be doing it with her little junior master gardeners down in Laughlin too, so she'll bring the same curriculum up. And then I'll have the teen scene here on Fridays because we're calling it 4-H Fridays. And we're gonna explore some other teen survivor concepts that they enjoy. Sewing, chemistry, geocaching, we went and looked at a couple of them today. Kayaking and some team building activities. And we've been trying to, like Sue said, try and get the kids excited about the fallout concept for the celebration in November. So we're gonna be doing some fallout activities, caching one of them and sewing some bags with fallout fabric and see if they can't get excited about that because it's just a long lost art form. So we're gonna try and get them excited. We also will begin our first Lego robotics planning session at the end of the month. It'll be the last Friday. We're gonna go from 4 to 5 on Fridays. The library is gracious enough to let us into the community center, and then we'll use that time. We have, the theme is called Unearthed, and it's kind of a play on archaeology, and we got the booklets and the pamphlets this week. So we want to get the kids in to start building the models and figuring out some adaptations to their robot from last year and some different capabilities, and we're going to try and get some new kids in on that whole STEM scene because they get excited about programming. We're going to meet here on Wednesdays and Fridays for that, and it goes through December, excluding holidays. 2 months ago, we were pleasantly surprised and presented with a donation of money from Thank You Metro, and we got money from Justice of the Peace, Chris Cheater, and Ribs and Things. Just the entire community pitched in and donated money to support an effort to get kids to camp in Camp Alamo. So in the Paranagat Valley, we have this beautiful location. Some of the kids in Laughlin have never been out of the Laughlin Valley. So it was kind of fun. It supported 2 kids from Laughlin that are junior high kids that go to the Boys and Girls Club and 2 high school kids here from Searchlight. They enjoyed that outdoor curriculum and the indoor curriculum. It was a leadership and art themed camp. So they created cardboard cars and motorcycles. I'm sure you heard all about it. They painted, they ate, they tie-dyed, they played on a giant water slide, they made s'mores, they ate some more. They did archery, they climbed the rock wall, they ate more. I heard all about it all the way back. So I drove them there, I drove them back, and they can't wait to do it again. And so many thanks to you guys for your donations and for making that possible because ordinarily those kids would not be able to do anything like that. It was just incredible to hear how excited they were and the friends they made. On the adult side of things in Searchlight, Michelle continues to offer pickleball and watercolor classes on Mondays and Tuesdays, and they're free, they're open to the public. So there's flyers on the back table. Please come join. She does a great job with the watercolor class. And if you've never played pickleball, it's a hoot. We have a Healthy Aging and Living newsletter for August on the back. We have 2 of our master gardeners from Laughlin are on the front cover because they help out with some of the events down there. So that was kind of fun. Anytime we get mentioned in newsletters, we like to highlight that. We are also going to host our Outdoor Nevada events beginning on October 17th, and it'll be at the Davis Dam in Laughlin. It's our attempt to get the kids outside to explore, to get outside, to breathe fresh air, and we're going to be touring the facility on that day. And if there are Searchlight kids that are interested in going, usually it's transportation that's the problem. Devin and I drive right through here. So if there's the possibility of picking them up, they just have to register for it because space is limited. We hope this year during teacher in-service days, for those of you that haven't had kids in the classes for a while, the teachers love to take days off and make these extended weekends. And so it leaves people without babysitters or school or possibility for kids to go someplace. So we kind of have an activity for them to do. So we hope during those times to visit the Chatticut Mine, Walking Box Ranch, if we can coordinate that, and Keyhole Canyon. So those are some of the ideas that we have to get the kids out and explore. The garden mulch pile is gone. Devin and I, we got rid of it because we're expecting the shade structure to start construction. And so we were trying to make it so that there was room for material to be delivered so that Charlie could play horseshoes. So we cleaned that up. Our next garden organizational effort are going to be to trim some of our wild crops we have in there. If you haven't seen it, we are growing stuff. Michelle brought huge zucchini. We have tomatoes. We have mint. If you want to take anything home tonight, help yourself. We'd love to share. But it is booming. And if you're interested in trying your hand at gardening, we do have some empty plots. We have some shade structure that are temporary out there right now, thanks to Kayla and Billy. And I think that's why the garden is just going crazy. Because Laughlin, not so much. It is rocket hot. It's brutal. So the fact that we have this beautiful garden with vegetables that are growing is crazy. So if you want to be a part of it, please reach out to me at the very end of this meeting, and we'd love to get you involved. I haven't heard anything about the construction, but as soon as I know, you'll know. Any other questions for me? Oh, Devin.
I just wanted to say that we do not have a van for that October 16th date to Davis Dam. So all we have is our truck for that day. So any Searchlight people or kids that wanted to go with us, let us know ASAP, because we'll only have like three spots in the van, in our truck.
What day are we doing?
It is a Monday, October 16th, I believe. Hold on, I've got the flyer right here. Isn't that some good day?
I want to say it's a Friday.
I believe it's a Thursday.
It is Friday, October 17th. Kelly's right.
My mom will be 96, 17th. So I just happen to know that.
Yes. And I could not get the van, and I tried a month ago. It's from 10 to 12, and we're going inside the Davis Dam. There is the elevator can only hold 15 people, and they only want to use the elevator once that day.
I can drive if you need.
Thanks, Michelle.
Any other questions for us? It's our fall programming, so we're spinning. We're getting a lot of stuff going, and the kids are excited, and we were at open house, and Devin was at the health fair, and so we're reaching out to the kids, and they're excited. There are 10 kids, and we're going to get all of them in 4-H programming. Our stats are going to look fantastic in 4-H. 100% enrollment.
Any questions from the board?
Yes. So do you have to sign up for the October 17th trip?
Yes, and I will leave this form with a QR code to sign up at this back table.
Thank you, Devin.
I'm in front of my boss right now.
Always. And so for the 4-H Fridays, I think I missed the times.
So when they get off the bus, they come here on Fridays.
So that's for the teens?
For the teens.
Okay. So.
And then if they're part of that first robotics, Lego robotics, they'll stay from 4 to 5 on Friday. We'll double up on that day because Lego first robotics, all the way through December, they're going to have to meet twice a week to get their
okay. And both of those are for teens. So for 3 to 4, just regular, and then 4 to 5 specifically.
Is junior high specific. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. Yes. I know Kaden has been asking me about robotics. That one specifically only goes for 8th grade.
Okay.
From 3 to 4, we'll have two groups going. I'll take the littles, Kelly will take the teens.
Okay.
And then the teens who are staying for robotics will stay from 4 to 5.
Okay, so it's all 3 to 4 then, mostly.
That's why it's 4-H Friday. We're taking them all.
Awesome. Yeah. Love it. Thank you.
Any questions from the public?
I got to have some of the vegetables from Hank Barton. Unfortunately, my boss saw the tomatoes, and he realized he meant to stole two of them from me before I could even get home. But they were amazing, so I wiped them in myself the next day.
We have a few more in the back.
Kind of have to now.
Those tomatoes were way better than the ones I bought at the store.
And it's pretty uncanny that we have tomatoes right now. So usually they're a fall fruit, and so we do have some, and everybody's doing everything right. People are amazed. We have people from Laughlin stopping by here to see this garden. So
I tried stopping by to buy some, and nobody was down there, so I was a little bit of Laughlin was here. Apparently I have to pay attention on days. So.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Next informational item, receive a report from Michael Chapman with Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming events.
I'm Michael Chapman, the library assistant, C-H-A-P-M-A-N. We've got a lot going on at the library since school is back in session. And we have documentary Fridays, which are going to be on most Fridays, which is kind of a new thing to have. That's from 12 to 2, the 15th as well as the 29th. Today, we had sewing in here with Michelle. That's a new day for sewing. It used to be on Tuesdays, but now we've moved it over to the second Wednesday of each month, and that's in this room here. We have typically some projects to do, art projects, because people really enjoy those. So we have sand art, which will be this Saturday, and then there's going to be a change on the schedule. It shows if you have a calendar that there's kite decorating, but that there probably won't be, because I just found out today that the chair yoga person that came, that was a big success, and people really, really enjoyed the chair yoga. So she's going to be coming here to our library 5 times, once every 2 months, starting on that last Saturday of the month. So she'll be here at 11:30. On the 30th, and she'll be coming also in October 11th, same time, 11:30, December 13th, and then next year, February 28th, and then her April appearance. The date isn't set for that one yet, but that should be nice because people really enjoy the exercise with that. Let's see. The manager's birthday is on the 24th, so you can come in next week and wish him a happy birthday ahead of time, because he's going to be going on vacation during the duration of time that his birthday is. He's 38-something. And let's see, Wednesday the 20th, we'll be playing Boggle. We have games every other week, and that we had it a couple weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun. It was a real challenge, because we had adults and children coming for that. And so I had an 80s trivia game, which could be something fun for people of all ages. Well, the older folks probably don't know the music because it's not their generation, and the younger kids probably don't know the songs unless they've been on TikTok. The fun thing about the game was you'd watch the music videos, and then they would ask you a question about something that you saw in the little clip they had. So it was kind of a fun thing that people of all ages could be involved playing with. So that worked out pretty good a couple weeks ago. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? From the public? Questions? Thank you, Michael.
And the last thing is we have stuffed animals for sale for $1.50 each.
Next informational item, receive a report from Kyle Margaret Myers regarding current road conditions and public works concerns.
Last month, I reported one street light at the intersection of Cottonwood Cove Road and Broadway Street. That's a solar street light. Hasn't been repaired yet, but I'm sure Public Works will get on it when they have the opportunity. And I know last month there was a question regarding street sweeping. I haven't received a response from that yet. I don't know if Mark has made any headway in that regard.
I have to double check my email. I think the street sweeper went down. is what I last heard, so I know they are, it was in the shop, so, and then the schedule, I don't know, but I will get that to you, so, and then you might want to.
Oh, yeah.
No, no, if you have more.
Go for it.
And then I know last month we talked about the trash, I guess that kind of be public works. Republic Service just told me, and I talked to Kayla about this as well, like, if you ever see trash that's like, they miss the trash can, or like, it gets launched over, I know a lot of people in Searchlight are great people and pick it up and do that. You can always take a picture if like something's happened like that and just send that to myself or Kyle or Tammy, and we'll reach out to Republic Services. Because we let them know that they were kind of missing when they're picking it up, and I think it's been resolved, right, Kayla, hopefully?
Yeah, I didn't notice last trash day any problems like
okay.
that.
So yeah, just always let us know, and we can let them know as well, so.
Thank you, Mark. With that, I'll take any questions. Anything from the board? Okay. Anything, any questions from the public? Concerns? Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Kyle. Next information item, review previous fiscal year budget requests and take public input regarding requests for the next fiscal year budget. We have had a few items on this capital budget request, and Tammy, what can you clarify the amount that a capital budget is?
Over
$5,000. And there should be this spreadsheet in a packet back on the table back there if people want to look at it. But there's 10 items on here, and we can discuss those if we need to take some off, put them on, or keep whatever's on there and add to it. And then we're going to kind of rate these and submit them. But we want your community input to see if there's anything else on this list or if there's something we should maybe forget about.
And you don't have to read it this time. This is more of just like introducing it. And this is essentially what we call it is more of like a wish list. So a lot of these, the town board will put them on the list, and I will meet with all the department heads and kind of bring them to the attention. And then we see if we can put them in a capital improvement program. So I know we've had ones before that we might be able just to fix that don't go to the list, but it's a good list to really understand, kind of like what Andrew was saying, of like what the community needs and wants, and then we try to figure out how we can fund it. That's usually always our biggest hurdle. Yeah, so today is just kind of like bringing it forward, and then anyone that needs to update it, and then I think next month we'll go through it and there'll be action towards it. So if anyone has anything, please let the town board members know, let myself know, we can add it or take it off or whatever works.
Well, Chair, if you don't mind, each year we usually have hopefully one that gets completed, and I know we've already announced it before and everyone already knows it's out there, but the Cottonwood Cove Road crosswalk was completed this year, so we can take that one off the list.
Okay,
that one was a few years in the making there.
The darkness of night.
So we're cutting down the list slowly but surely. That's all I have.
Any other discussion from the board?
With the Cottonwood Cove project, is there any of these other ones like the solar lights or speed limit radars that are in consideration on that? Does anyone know?
So the last time we had, I forget the gentleman's name that we had from Public Works here, but we did bring up all of the Cottonwood Cove items on this list. The crosswalk kind of just happened out of the blue, so I'm assuming that was his work. I personally haven't received any denial or confirmation regarding the speed limit radar signs or the solar streetlights.
And I'll just add on that. I will talk to Public Works about these because personally, we can always remove them off of here before we put them through. It's better, so I will ask about the solar lights. I will work with Kyle to find out locations and see what other locations. And then speed limit radar signs, I will talk probably to Andrew and Public Works to see about that. So
thank you.
If there's a specific partly we wanted the beginning of Cotton Cove, we wanted the middle. I don't know. I know sometimes people usually get through town and then they speed up, which is poor. So.
Any other comments from the board? Comments from the public? Got it. Anybody else? Okay, moving on. No planning or zoning issues this evening. General business, none.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, if applicable. Clearly state your name and address. Please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote.
I just have a couple of quick announcements, Chair. There is a back-to-school root beer flow party presented by Clark County Parks and Recreation on August 20th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Youth Center. And then also next Tuesday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., we got the Groceries on the Go Pink Bus down there at the Cottonwood Cove Road and US 95 intersection. And that's all I got.
Any other comments? Yes, Deb, go ahead.
As you meet tonight, we have some marigold seeds from the Surfside Garden, some apple mint, some spearmint, I think. It might be chocolate mint, and some basil. So if anybody would like anything on the way out, please take it.
Awesome.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
I just have an announcement for the
Oh, yes. And for our Aaron, he gets a special treat. Wow.
Natalie Jeter says.
So just wanted to let everyone know that on September 6th for the Friends of Abiquime, we have our usual first Saturday event from 9 to 12 p.m. at Walking Box Ranch. It's wild plants and native uses. And the guest speaker is a Springs Preserve archaeologist, Ian Ford Terry. He'll be speaking at the event. And then on September 20th, there is a Dark Skies event. And that's in conjunction with National Public Lands Day. It will start out at the Searchlight Senior Center at 6:30. There'll be a presentation there for that. And then at 8 p.m., move over to the shooting range where there will be the Las Vegas Astronomy Society will be coming. So there's going to be telescopes and guided looking at stars. So all of that will be available out there. And it will go until 10 p.m. Oh, and then, sorry, one other thing. And then they'll also be doing dark skies testing for Friends of Abiquime is working on getting a dark skies designation for the National Monument. So they'll be doing some dark sky testing at the very end.
Is there an opportunity to schedule private tours of the place up there and bring like a group of the 4-H kids from Searchlight and Laughlin there? We could even try to do a community service project.
For the Walking Box Ranch?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I would think so. If you want to...
We coordinate with who's the manager out there?
Yeah, we would just need to coordinate with the BLM manager out there to find a time to do that. But we've done that for some other groups as well, to be able to coordinate times and schedule something ahead for tours. So yeah, that's definitely something that we can do.
2026 right now. Should I contact you then to get that information?
Or? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, any other public comments? Yes, Kelly?
She reminded me, we are doing shooting sports in Searchlight, and so we left a flyer in the back as well. And so our shooting sports specialist will be going over archery, which some of the kids have done, some have not. But some of the teens at the library event this summer were interested in it. And so we're also going to bring air pistol and air rifle. And so you reminded me, Natalie, that we're going to be using the shooting range area for that too. And so that also space is limited. And so we have a QR code for that. But you don't need to know because you've already registered twice. So that's okay. I told Caden that I was expecting twice as much from him as of everybody else. So. But this is a great opportunity to bring it out to Searchlight instead of Searchlight kids having to go someplace else. And so if you know any teens, because this is specifically for junior high, high school, if you know any teens that are interested in that, it is free, open to the public. We just have to keep it to a minimum of 20. So as always, Devin and I will bring snacks and drinks, and then our shooting specialist will be out here. And that'll be 9 to noon once a month, all the way through May, starting in September. We'll start on that September 13th date, and Natalie reminded me because I was thinking, are we out there at the same time as the dark skies? But we're not. It's the weekend before, so we'll leave these in the back.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Any other comments from the general public? All right. Our next meeting date is September 10, 2025. The meeting is adjourned.
Yes.